The bad news is I have 13 points to my outline tonight. The good news is I don't have any sub-points. So there you go. And so we're looking at the lion's den, a story that you've all heard, I'm sure, from the time you were children, most of you. But there's a lot here for us as we look at Daniel chapter 6 and being cast into the lion's den. Let's read the first couple of verses before we pray this evening. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, that the king should have no damage. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Daniel and for his service to you and the fact that he indeed was on the Lord's side. As we've sung tonight, he certainly had a passion for thee, Lord, and we want to be like Daniel, and we thank you for his faithfulness to you. Lord, we know that no one is perfect. We have all sinned and come short of your glory except for Christ. He alone is sinless. And Lord, even though we don't see any record of Daniel's sin in the scripture, we know there must have been some, but we are so thankful for the encouragement and the blessing that we receive as we study the life of Daniel. And so help us tonight that we would see some things that would help us and our walk with you as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we look at this tonight in verses 1 and 2, the two verses that I read to you, the first thing we're going to see are the presidents and the princes that he has here. And notice that it says in these two verses that they might give accounts unto them. And so as they were placed over the kingdom, they were going to have to give an account of the things that they did. Now, we're not presidents and princes, but as believers, the Bible says that we are kings and priests, and God has given us some things. He has put under our management, under our stewardship, whether it's money or talents, the things that we have. And just as these people had to give an account to the king, we also take the things that God has entrusted to us, and we one day will give account even as they. And the reason that they were doing that, at the end of verse 2, it says that so the king should not have any damage. That is to make sure that there was no loss. In the king's treasury, there was silver and gold. No doubt there were horses and clothes and all kinds of food and just many different treasuries that he had. But the purpose of these 120, it says here, they had to make sure that he didn't lose anything. And God has entrusted to us some things as well. We give an account for it, and we want to make sure that we use faithfully those things that God has given to us. Well, it tells us in verse 3 that Daniel was preferred there. And that means that he was distinguished as a leader. It was recognized right away that he had some leadership abilities. In our school, in our high school, we have every year where we recognize students with a leadership award because teachers recognize leadership ability and young people with character, and we want to recognize those. Well, Daniel was preferred. It goes on to say in verse 3 that because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. He had an excellent spirit. Look at the word excellent. Go back a couple of chapters, if you will, to chapter 2 and verse 31. When we were looking at the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, it says in verse 31 of chapter 2, "Thou, O king," Daniel speaking to the king, "and behold a great image, this great image whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible." And so we have this image here that the brightness was excellent here. Then it goes on to talk in chapter 3 with the furnace that we saw when they were thrown into the furnace. And it says in chapter 3, verse 22, that it was an excellent heat there. It was turned up pretty hot there. But in Daniel, it says that he had a superior spirit about him. We oftentimes think of the word spirit as attitude. In the Hebrew, the word spirit is the Hebrew word ruach. Sometimes it's translated spirit, sometimes it's translated breath, and sometimes it's translated wind. And so you read and get the context to see which of those it is. And this spirit of Daniel, he had such a wonderful attitude about him. And he went through some pretty hard times, didn't he? But even in those hard times, his attitude, his spirit was excellent. And so we ask ourselves the question, how do I handle adverse circumstances? Do I get an attitude or do I have an excellent attitude? Well, Daniel had an excellent spirit about him, and the king noticed that there was something different about Daniel, even in his attitude and everything, that he was preferred above the others. And so there were others around who didn't like it, and so we see the pursuit that they have to find something wrong with Daniel. The presidents and the princes, I'm in verse 4, they sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now, it doesn't say that he was sinless. As I prayed a moment ago, we know that all have sinned. But here they looked and they looked, they put on this witch hunt, I guess, as we sometimes call it, and they said, we're going to check all his closet. He's got to have a skeleton in one of his closets somewhere. And so they did their best to try to trap him. They had done the same thing with Jesus. The scripture says they tried to catch Jesus in his words, and they couldn't find anything at fault with him either. And so what do you do? What did they do? When they look and they look, and you can't find anything wrong. So we say, well, there's nothing wrong. Let's let him go. We know that's not what happened, don't we, there. And so what they did, when you can't find anything wrong, you say, okay, let's devise this plot. Like we saw this morning that they did at the trial of Jesus, how that they were trying to have false witnesses that would come about. And so here's Daniel with a good attitude. He has no fault. He has no error. And verse 4, there was not an error. That word error means failure to perform his task or duty. It means to be negligent in your responsibilities. And not only was Daniel faithful in fulfilling his responsibilities, he did it with a good attitude. And he had an excellent spirit about him. And they couldn't find any fault. Daniel did what he was supposed to do. He did it the right way. He did it on time. I mean, everything about him, as there was no error in him. Boy, we need to be like that, don't we? We need to fulfill our responsibilities on time with the right attitude, with the right spirit. And Daniel was like that. And they were pursuing to find an occasion of fault in him, and they couldn't find anything. So number 4, here's the plot. They come up with this plot where they're going to try to trap Daniel. And so in verse 5, it says, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except it be against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said to the king, King Darius, live forever. Then notice what they said to the king in verse 7. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute. And was that a true statement? Had all of the presidents gathered together? Daniel was chief of them. He wasn't in that. So they start out with a lie in their plot. People that are going to plot to trap someone who's innocent won't think twice about lying there. And so here's what they're doing. They're lying here. And so in verse 7, they continue, and they said, we've gathered together to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or of man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. And so this plot that they have is to elevate the king to the level of being a god. And they said, we want to make a decree that nobody ask anybody of anything, not even the God of heaven, of no one but you. Now, an unsaved man, even a believer, sometimes pride would start to sneak in, wouldn't it? And said, boy, that's pretty good. For 30 days, nobody can ask a petition of anybody but me. I must be somebody. You know, and he starts to get to thinking this way, and pride is going to cause him to fall as well. Well, continue reading with me in verse 8. Now, O king, establish the decree. Sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. And so if the king signs this decree, he can't go back and change his mind. He can't undo even what he has done. He can have the authority to sign this thing, but he can't change it. Not if it's according to the law of the Medes and Persians. And they know that, and that's why they're trying to plot to the king and trying to deceive him and trick him. And their plan is working there because he's lifted up in pride. Well, there's prayer going on by Daniel, of course. Verse 9 says, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew, that's important, that part of this verse. Daniel knew what their plot was. They knew that all the presidents and princes had gotten together, and he knew what they had done, and they had taken it to the king, and he knew that as soon as he would make a request, a petition of his God, he knew what was going to happen. But it didn't alter his faith. It didn't change his practice. It says in verse 10, Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Here it is, as he did aforetime. Daniel knew, and he goes and he prays. Well, these people thought that Daniel, once he heard that, he might kind of compromise a little bit. So they had told the king, they said, 30 days, nobody can ask a petition. And they figured within 30 days, Daniel would certainly fail and go and pray. They didn't know Daniel very well, did they? They didn't need 30 days. One day was sufficient because Daniel was faithful in doing that every day there. And so he goes and he makes this supplication. Let's continue reading here in verse 11. Then these three men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication. That word supplication means to ask for mercy. So they go and they see Daniel kneeling down in front of the window. Well, you say, well, he could have gone and hidden and they wouldn't have known it. But that wasn't his practice. And Daniel was bold and Daniel was courageous. And he was going to pray like he always had. He was going to keep his commitment to the Lord. And he was going to God asking for mercy. He needed mercy. His people needed mercy. It was against the law for him to do what he was doing, to pray in his own house. What happens if that comes to America? We're not too far from it, are we? We may not be. I'm not a prophet. I don't know that for sure. But we can't do that in our government schools. It may come to be that there is a law, a decree from the president or whoever that would say, you can't pray even in your own house. What do you do? May we be like Daniel. Say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask for God's mercy because I need it more now than I did before this decree came up. I do need God's mercy there. And so Daniel goes being a man of prayer. Now verse 12. Then they came near. They caught Daniel. And they came and spake to the king concerning the king's decree. And here's what they said: King, hast thou not signed a decree that every man that asks a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. And then they said before the king, verse 13, Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, he regards not thee. King, he's not listening to you, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but he makes his petition 3 times a day. And so they're coming to the king, and they have deceived the king, they have lied to the king, and now the king, he liked Daniel. Daniel was preferred. He can't alter what he's done. He's got to deliver Daniel to the lion's den, and so he has a problem. And his problem is with himself at verse 14. The king, when he heard those words, he was sore displeased with himself. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me, kind of thing. Well, they did. They fooled him. And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. It was the law of the Medes and Persians. He couldn't change it. So he's trying to say, there's got to be a way. There's got to be a way. There's got to be something I can do. And because of his pride, because of the deception of men that he had placed in power and with a high position, now he's displeased with himself. There are times when we are displeased with ourselves as well. When we fail the Lord and we do something, what do we do? Thank God there's always forgiveness. There's always a second and third chance with the Lord. And so, verse 15, let's see what happens. Then these men assembled to the king. Remember, he's trying to figure a way out of this commitment. They said to the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said to Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will be with thee. Verse 17, and a stone was brought and laid before the mouth of the den. Sort of like they took a stone in front of the tomb where Jesus was laid. There's a stone there. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Notice that phrase, that the purpose might not be changed. Man had a purpose. These princes and presidents had a purpose to destroy Daniel. God had a purpose to deliver Daniel and to let him be a testimony even for us today. And that phrase where it says that the purpose might not be changed. Remember the life of Joseph? Remember whenever he goes to his brothers and he says to his brothers after they had sold him into slavery, he said, you meant it for God, for evil, but God meant it for good. And the same thing is true here with Daniel. These people meant it for evil, but God has a purpose there. And God's purpose will never be changed. Benjamin Franklin said, at least two things are certain in this world, death and taxes. Read a story about a Frenchman by the name of André Raffray. And in 1965, he agreed to pay a 90-year-old woman $500 a month as long as she lived. She's 90. And in return, when she died, he was going to own her grand apartment. It was in a beautiful part of Paris, France. On Christmas Day, 1995, 30 years later, he died at the age of 77. The woman was that he was paying was Jean Calment. She was the oldest living person. She was 120. He had paid her for 30 years, and she outlived him there. He had forked over $184,000, nearly twice the value of what he had paid. And not only that, but even in the agreement, his wife, his widow, was going to have to continue to pay that monthly $500 check if she outlived his widow there. And so that continued, and the agreement was that the children and grandchildren, they would have to continue there. And it looks like that there was, even death was not certain. But there's one thing that's certain: the purpose of God will not be changed. Man can do what they want, but they can't change the purpose of God. God is in control, and nothing that these presidents and princes can do to change the purpose of God. Aren't you glad that you serve an unchanging God who has a purpose for you? And he has a purpose for me, just as he did have a purpose for Daniel. Well, let's go to verse 18, and we'll see the next thing in the story is the pain that comes. There's the purpose. I didn't put that up. The purpose might not be changed. Number 8, the pain. Not pain that Daniel had, but the pain of the king. Verse 18. The king went to his palace. He passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him. He was sad, and his sleep went from him. Then the king rose very early in the morning and went into the haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And so here he was restless all night. He was worried all night. He was in pain, and he was in his palace. Daniel was in the den of lions. And so it's not the circumstances around us that give us peace, is it? It's the Christ within us. And Daniel knew the Lord. And he is called here by the king in verse 20, a servant of the living God. What a wonderful title. Maybe if he were to have his on his tombstone when Daniel was buried, servant of the living God. Can't think of anything better, can you? To have written servant of the living God. Well, though he was in pain, we look at Daniel and we see that Daniel was protected through all of this. Daniel says in verse 21, he answered the king. The king really probably wasn't expecting to hear from Daniel. He said, O king, live forever. The response of Daniel was one that comes from an excellent spirit. It wasn't sarcastic. Ah, king, you thought you had me, huh? My God's greater than you. No, it wasn't that kind of response at all. He showed a respect, no bitterness at all in his voice. O king, live forever. Psalm 84:11 says this, For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Did Daniel walk uprightly? He certainly did. He had an excellent spirit about him. He served God continually, as we saw there in verse 16. And it tells us here in verse 23, then was the king. Well, let's see, let me back up. Read verse 22. He says, My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, as also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. I haven't wronged you, and I haven't wronged the Lord. Verse 23, then the king, exceeding glad for him, commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Powerful statement. No hurt there because he trusted in God there. God responds to an unwavering faith in him. And Daniel had that kind of faith, and God responded to it. Now we see the punishment. Number 10 there. Those who deceive the king, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. Well, in verse 24, and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, had to deceive him, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them. They didn't have the mastery of Daniel, but they had the mastery of these people. And they broke all their bones in pieces or ever they came at the bottom of the den there. Their wives and their children. The sin of these men didn't just affect their own lives. Remember Jonah when he disobeyed and he ran from the Lord? And then he was out in the ship and others were about to perish because of the disobedience of Jonah. No man is an island. We don't live unto ourselves. We don't sin unto ourselves. Our sin affects others as well. And here are these reaping what they have sown. Now let's look at the peace. Number 11. Daniel saved those that tried to trick the king and kill Daniel had been dealt with. Verse 25, then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Multiplied peace is better than occasional peace. Occasional peace might come when everything's going just fine. But multiplied peace is there when you're faithfully serving God, even in the lion's den. When you're faithfully serving God, no matter what's happening, there is multiplied peace. Look, if you will, to verse 6 and verse 10 and see Daniel's faithfulness. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said to the king Darius, live forever. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime. His faithfulness there. The reason he had peace was because he was faithful. In verse 16, the king acknowledged, he said, thy God whom thou servest continually. And again in verse 20, we see that he says, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee? If we want peace, a multiplied peace, the way we have that is by being faithful and serving God continually. Daniel had that kind of peace, and the king wants other people to have what Daniel has. Well, let's look number 12. Let's see the power. Here's the king. He has a lot of power. He had the power to make this decree. He had the power to throw Daniel into the lion's den. But there's a power that's greater than this king. Verse 26. I make a decree. He doesn't have those men tricking him to make this one. Here's the new decree. That in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. Probably not the God of the king yet. I don't think he's become a believer. For he is the living God, and he is steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. And so there's a kingdom that's more powerful than the kingdom of Darius. There is a dominion that is broader than the dominion of Darius. There's a power that's greater than his power. Verse 27, there's the power of the lions. This is still the king speaking. He delivers and rescues. That's the kind of God we have. He delivers us from sin. He rescues us from hell. He works signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? That word power is the same word we saw last week in chapter 5, where the king looked and he saw a hand writing on the wall. And the Hebrew word for hand is the same word as the word for power here. And so where is the power of God? The hand of God. Daniel had the hand of God on his life, didn't he? And there's power in God's working hand. Prayer. Whenever we go to God in prayer, that's what Daniel did. Three times a day. You know what Daniel was saying? God, will you lend me a hand? And in that hand that God had for Daniel was tremendous power to overrule all the 120 princes that tried to deceive the king and kill Daniel. God had a purpose, and nothing was going to change the purpose that God had for Daniel. And the last thing we see in verse 28, number 13, is the prosperity there. It tells us that Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius. Doesn't mean he got rich. The word means he succeeded. He was successful there. What does that mean? It means to complete a task or a project that we have. He was successful in completing what God had given him to do. What has God given you to do? What has he given me to do? There's a task that we all have. There's a project that God has for us. And what was Daniel's task in closing? Let's look. What was his project? Well, first of all, he wanted to have an excellent spirit within him. And he did. When things went bad, he had the right attitude. His trust was in God. He wasn't concerned about all the circumstances because his God was greater than all the circumstances around him. His task was to serve God faithfully. And he did. The king acknowledged that. And the people around, they knew that he was faithful. They knew where to find Daniel. They knew where they could trap him because they knew that he would be praying because he was faithful in doing that. And then the last one, his task was to serve God faithfully. Is that any different than the task and projects that God has given to us? It doesn't have to be something great. Being a missionary somewhere, I'm thankful for those that God calls to go to foreign fields, but God has called us to serve him faithfully, to serve him continually, and to do it with an excellent spirit, even as Daniel did, no matter what. And that's the story of Daniel in the lion's den, a man who was faithful to his God and who was protected because God had a purpose. And we serve a God who doesn't change and a God who has a purpose that no one else can change. Let's be faithful and serve God continually as Daniel. Let's pray. Father, what a blessing it is to see the life of Daniel. What a blessing it's going to be one day in glory when we talk to Daniel and ask him some questions about being there with the lions there. Was he asleep upon their beard? Thank you for the peace that's ours whenever we know you as Savior. A peace that is multiplied whenever we are faithful in praying and we are serving you continually. We thank you that you are a God who never changes and that you have a purpose for us that man cannot alter. In Christ's name, amen.